Hey, first of all, it's a big schuss to be together. During the lichtige yontif of Chanukah, mamish vamish, very special, ki ner mitzvah b'torah ar, to be together, to sing a little bit, to be together, but to share Torah together. This is the greatest hour of our life, is Torah. I'm going to first just give, a very special mazel tov to Adiv, with the schuss of a chassan in our midst. And Adiv, who Baruch Hashem is not a consistent member of the shir because he's in Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, it's a good reason not to be here. Halavai, we should all be zoicha to be with him, Bekarav Mamish. But whenever he's here, he's generally here. I mean, whenever he has to be in Chutz Laretz. And he's a very special Talmud, and Mamish looking forward, Bez Hashem, to the Chasana in a few weeks. Bez Hashem looking forward to being there. This upcoming week is his quote-unquote Ofrof. Whatever that means. Okay. I mean, the Ikar Ofrof, obviously, we know is the Shabbos before. We'll talk about that by Baruch HaKimishon Vashiv HaKadosh or so.
Leaving the city.
But, huh?
Leaving the city.
Oh, exactly. But L'maisa, here. L'maisa, to be with Chevron, to be with Shpacha. That's a little bit easier to do now. So wish him a big mazel tov, and him, Rebecca, v'yivzoicha, to build a bayis nam Yisrael. Mali simcha, mali bracha, all the simcha over the next few weeks should be the small simcha of your life. Mir Tashem.
Amen.
Shir tonight and the learning tonight, and all the brachas we made on the food, first of all, is Ili Nishmas. First of all, my wife Zadie, Yitzchak ben Chaim Yehuda, we'll talk about him maybe a little bit during this year, but he was mamish, a walking malach. Mamish was the biggest chus in the world to be his step grandson. Every time I was by him, it was mamish. Unbelievable schus, and to be with someone who's a kaddish tikiyid, who was a survivor of the Holocaust, and came and built a mishpacha, mali Torah, mali kedusha, to save in a little bit is to say too little. I mean, to say a little bit it takes away from his godless. We're not going to talk about him right now, but mir Hashem, all the learning should be a big schus for his neshama, li nishmaso, and he should be a melet yosher for his entire mishpacha, my particular mishpacha, and all of us, to Uzoich be united, Shiach Zukeinu b'mheir b'yameinu. The learning tonight is also, all the learning tonight is being sponsored, and is L'Refuah Shleima, Tzvi Chaim Ben Gittel. Tzvi Chaim Ben Gittel is a very big tzaddik, mamisha, a gadol b'chesed, someone I have this list to be very, very close to. We had a surgery this week and is recuperating, and Mirz Hashem should have complete refuos and yeshuos to continue to be a leader in Klal Yisrael. And Mirz Hashem should just hear Besuras Tovos and refuo Bekarov Mamish. I want to start tonight by reading something I read this week from the Lord, from Sir, Doctor, Rabbi, Lord Jonathan Sacks. I mean, we all read, hopefully this week, a lot from the Lord, from the Ebeshter, in the Heilige Torah, but this is from Jonathan Sacks, and he writes as follows. He says, an amazing, amazing mamish, two paragraphs. Just imagine this moment in time, what he had the schus to be a part of. Back in 1991, he writes, back in 1991, I lit Chanukah candles with Mikhail Gorbachev, who had until earlier that year been president of the Soviet Union. For 70 years, the practice of Judaism had been effectively banned in communist Russia. It was one of the two greatest assaults on our people and faith in the 20th century. The Germans sought to kill Jews. The Russians tried to kill Judaism. Under Stalin, the assault became brutal. Then in 1967, after Israel's victory in the Six-Day War, many Soviet Jews sought to leave Russia and go to Israel. Not only was permission refused, but often the Jews concerned lost their jobs and were imprisoned. Around the world, Jews campaigned for the prisoners, refuseniks they were called, to be released and allowed to leave. Eventually, Mikhail Gorbachev realized that the whole Soviet system was unworkable. Communism had brought not freedom and equality, but repression, a police state, and a new hierarchy of power. In the end, it collapsed, and Jews regained the freedom to practice Judaism and go to Israel. That day in 1991, after we had lit candles together, Mr. Gorbachev asked me, through his interpreter, what we had just done. I told him 22 centuries ago in Israel, after the public practice of Judaism had been banned, Jews fought for and won their freedom. And these lights were the symbol of that victory. And I continued, 70 years ago, Jews suffered the same loss of freedom in Russia. And you have now helped them to regain it. So you have become part of the Hanukkah story. And as the interpreter translated those words into Russian, Mikhail Gorbachev blushed. The Hanukkah story still lives, still inspires, telling not just us, but the world that though tyranny exists, freedom with God's help will always win the final battle. Imagine that moment in Russia, lighting Hanukkah candles with the president of the Soviet Union. We all know the stories of Russian Jews and the Mesiras Nefesh to keep Torah, mitzvahs. But what this really tells each and every one of us is how alive the Yontov of Hanukkah was in 1991 and is still today. If we understand the Yontov of Hanukkah, of a freedom, a geula, from a spiritual gullus primarily, who here can't admit and understand that we're in a spiritual gullus? Maybe not as strong proactively as was in Yavan by the Greeks, or in Russia in the 1900s. And maybe not that we're persecuted religiously. Baruch Hashem, we're not. But the sviva, the environment, the culture that we live in, how strong it is, of maybe not Miyad Esav, but Miyad Ochi, as the Beis Halevi famously explains. The Miyad Ochi Dikagolis of spirituality pulls us in and causes us to forget that which is so important and plays with our mind to lose focus of Torah mitzvahs. And that's the Yontov of Hanukkah, to be enlightened by the light of Torah again. And just by the mere fact that we're here late on Thursday night, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, before Shabbos Hanukkah, to learn Torah, says that we're winning. That each and every one of us in this room, we're winning. We're battling and we're winning. And we're again defeating Yavan. And we're again defeating those kolchos of spiritual gullus. And Amir Tashem, we should continue. And that's why Hanukkah is so important to think about and to learn about and to connect to. Because ultimately, within Hanukkah are the kolchos to defeat the gullus that we live in today. So let's learn. Let's learn and let's continue. Barasi Yitzara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. To see the aura of Torah, to enlighten ourselves and have the clarity to always defeat the Yitzara and defeat whatever gullus that we're in until we're Zoyecha to Geula Shleima B'Behera B'Yameinu. So the Gemara in Shabbos has of probably the most famous machloikism when it comes to Hanukkah. Of the smallest of children know this machlokas. If there's any machlokas, they know. If there's any Gemara, they know in Hanukkah. The machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel of how we're supposed to be lighting Neres Hanukkah. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Alef and Beis, says Beis Shammai Oimrim Yom Risho Madlik Shmona Mikan Ve'elech Poiches Vaholech. The opinion of Beis Shammai, which we know we do not follow Beis Shammai, generally we don't follow Beis Shammai except for a few exceptions, as we're going to discuss tonight. The opinion of Beis Shammai is Poiches Vaholech. The opinion of Beis Shammai is the first night we're supposed to light 8 candles, and the second night 7 candles, and 6, and 5, and 4, until we get to 1 candle on the 8th night. Imagine a Zayis Hanukkah with only 1 candle. You can't even imagine. But that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel, as we all know, and we paskin as we do, the first night of Hanukkah, Tuesday night, we lit 1 licht, and the second night, 2 candles, 2 neros, and tonight we had this chus to light 3. Until Zayis Hanukkah, we're going to light 8 candles, the whole menorah is going to be burning bright, it's going to be very beautiful. And the Gemara goes through, and it's a hard machlokas to understand, just shot in the Gemara. For all the Mefarshim, Benigla, Benister, discuss this machlokas. And discuss what are the tamim. So one way of looking at it is Beis Shammai is keneged yomim hanichnasim, v'taim Beis Hillel keneged yomim hayoytzin. I mean, that's very pashut, shkoyach. I mean, what is the depth in that? It's very hard to understand, right? So Beis Shammai is keneged yomim hanichnasim. How many days are left? There are 8 days left, 7 days left, 6 days left. And Beis Hillel, the days that already passed by, 1 day passed by, 2 days passed by, Kishkoach, let's just read. In a certain sense, it's really just restating the machlokas. Is it really an amkus to tell us a tam ledavar? It's hard to really understand that. And all the mefarshim asked this. And then maybe the next reason brought down is even more difficult. Now, Beis Hillel makes sense here. Beis Hillel we're used to throughout Shas. And if you look in the Mesorah of Shas, there's Gemara after Gemara. Malin v'koydesh v'emeridin. That we're very used to. That maybe makes sense. Malin v'koydesh, we're always enhancing our Kedusha, as we all in our life should always be enhancing our Kedusha. Beis Hillel says, K'neged pri hachag. On the surface, that's very hard to understand. As we know, the Parim, the Karbanos of Sukkis, so we're descending in number. If you look in Parshas Pinchas, so too here. Ma'in Shemitah Leitzar Sinai. Like Shkoyach, the Karbanos of Sukkis were in descending order, so therefore on Chanukah the candles should be in descending order. So those of us who know little Hasidus know that there's a lot of deep connections between Chanukah and Sukkis, they're both 8 days, and Mahadrin, a lot of very deep and beautiful. Aaron HaKoyin was the Anani HaKavod, and here the Kohanim were the ones that brought the Gula. A lot of deep, beautiful connections as well. In the world of Hasidus, we understand that the Tshuva goes all the way from the Tshuva of Sukkis all the way ending Chanukah. There are a lot of connections. So if you go on Ba'amkus, there's what to understand in that connection. But Benigla, it's very hard to understand what that is. Why are we talking about Priyachag? So I want to understand Pederech Avoida, this Machlokes, this very famous Machlokes that you all knew already. And you all know we Paskin. At least for right now, like Beis Hillel. And I emphasize for right now. But we have to understand the opinion of Beis Shammai. We have to understand the opinion of Beis Hillel. So I saw a tremendous Torah from the Hilga of Yisrael, the Apter of this year. The Ayyav Yisrael says as follows, to explain this machlokas, to explain what is the point that they're arguing on between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, he says as follows. He says there's two ways to understand and to look at this miracle of Chanukah. The miracle of the Pach Shemen, the miracle of this Shemen that was supposed to last one day and lasted 8 days. There's two ways to look at it. One way is as follows. If you look on the first day, you had this oil, all this oil that should have lasted one day, lasted 8 days. Which means on that first day, inherent in that oil, and listen closely to understand, Chavra, inherent in the oil, in the depth of that oil, was already the makeup of a miracle of 8 days long. Meaning in that oil that should have been one day, there was the koyach, which ultimately came El Payel, to be 8 days long. That oil was miraculous oil. That oil was supernatural oil that had a koyach to last 8 days. On day one, it was all there. It was all within, even though we didn't see it benigla revealed yet. It was there. Now, each day that more and more lights, there's ultimately, if you look at it in its essence, in a vacuum, there's less miracle left in that oil. Meaning, once you have day four, so 3 days already passed, now there's the 4 days, so 4 more days left that has a koyach of 4 days of miracle left in it. That's one way of looking at this. You hear? The other way we can look at it, the Ohev Yisrael says, is just look at Benigla. What do we see? What does the eye see? The eye sees a miracle that occurred, which on day two already a miracle occurred, and day three, wow, look, the streak went longer, it's even more chashiv. Day four, it's still going. Day five, it's still going. Each day, it's more and more of a miracle that's occurring. B'maisa, an action that's occurring, right? You see, l'havdil. You can imagine, you know, when a baseball player has a big streak and hits. So he gets 5 games in a row, he hit a hitting streak. 6 games in a row, a hitting streak. 10 days hitting streak. When it gets to 20, the league already gets excited. Everyone's following 21, 22. Chvesta, she's never going to get to 56 again. Stomach, never. What's the closest after 56? I think in the low 40s, if I'm not right. Nobody even knows. You don't know. You only know 56, right? So, Lamaisa, each day it gets longer, you get more chashiv. You don't think day one was no big deal, day two was no big deal. So each day it's benigla, it's more chashuv. So Ev Yisrael says, that's the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. He says, machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is that machlokes. The Beis Shammai, we'll start with Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel, the way that we paskin, and the way that Beteva, the way that we could see the world benigla in a revealed fashion is, we see on the outside what's occurring. Each day that a miracle occurred, each day was a greater miracle. It gets greater and greater and greater and greater. See, but Beis Shammai is able to see beneath. Beis Shammai doesn't just see what's revealed. He doesn't just see what occurs. He understands the potential. He understands the depth. He understands that inherent within that oil was a kedusha of the Eibishter that gave a koyach that was going to last 8 days on day one already. How chashiv that is. And therefore, day one, light 8 candles. Day two, there's less of a miracle left. Because there's less that's in the depth, in the amkus of that miracle. So now let's talk about this, chavre. Once we understand this, machlokas l'fido ev Yisrael. Zavad, and then we have to pass in like Beis Hillel, because that's how normal people see the world. But you know, Beis Shammai makes a lot of sense now. Beis Shammai has a lot of amkus and a lot of depth. And what Beis Shammai is really telling each and every one of us is that we have to see beyond the surface, and we have to not just judge the world with our naked eyes, but with our heart and with our Einei HaSeichel, and start to see the Ribbono Shel Olam and see the Koyach that's behind the scenes a little bit deeper. So you're saying, okay, but Shkoyach Rabbi, we paskin like Beis Hillel, why are we so concerned with Beis Shammai? The Arizal tells us that Be'ezus Hashem is Baruch Bizman Mashiach Sidkenu. We're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. Bizman Mashiach, we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai. The Sefer, the Migdash Melech and the Zohar explains this. You know, there's the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel and Beis. The Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel and Beis, tells us why we paskin like Beis Hillel, right? It's famous. You guys know, even if you didn't learn Erevin, you know this Gemara. Trust me, you know this Gemara. Right, the Gemara says, it goes through and says, Yatzab, when it goes through how Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, they were Amar Shmuel, Shalosh Shanim, Nechelku, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. 3 years, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel were arguing. They both said, Halalo Omer Malacha Kumosayinim, Halalo Omer Kumalacha. They wanted Halacha to be Paskin like them. Both of them said this. Yatzab Askel, Amar Eilav Eilav Divrik Limchayim. Yatzab Askel, Amar Eilav Divrik Limchayim. They're both MS. Other what? So then the Gemara asks, if the Eilav Eilav Divrik Limchayim, the Ma Zachu Beis Hillel Kvoy Halacha Kumosayin, why was Beis Hillel Zoicha that we should pass in halacha like them? So here the Gemara says, "Mipnei shenoichim v'aloivim ayu v'shoinin d'vreim v'divrei Beis Shammai." They were very pleasant. They were very sweet. They even learned Beis Shammai's halachas first. They were some explain. They were balei rachamim. They were balei rachamim. And this world as we know it, this world full of temptation, this world full of nefilos, and world full of yetzara. We need to tap into a lot of rachamim. We need rachmanis. We need a lot of mercy. Who here could say we're living up to the way the Rabban Shalom really wants us to live? So we're hoping the Rabban Shalom is Baal Rachamim. So who are we going to want to paskin like? We're going to want to paskin like the Baal Rachamim. We're going to want to paskin like a Beis Hillel Dikiyid. A little more makel. A little easier on us. Because that's not so easy. As that same Gemara says, and that's what it means, by the way, a little later in that Gemara, I'm sure the Chevra knows this Gemara, at the end, says that we paskin no chlal adam shol nivra, yosef mishanivra. Would have been better that we never were created, because to live a life and live up to our potential is something very, very difficult. So we paskin like Beis Hillel, because we need Beis Hillel, we need rachim. But the Mishnah Avos tells us, the Mishnah Avos in Parakeh, the 19th Mishnah, sometimes it's 20th, sometimes it's a little bit off. Let's see in this one. Maybe we can find it over here. It says as follows. It's 20th here. Kol machlokes li sheshem shemayim. Any machlokes is l'shem shemayim, that's a shema. Soful is kayim. In the end will be mekayim. In the end will be a fulfillment of the machlokes. And what's the example in the Mishnah? V'sheinu l'shem shemayim, einu soful is kayim. And the Mishnah says, Soiful Iskayim. How Soiful Iskayim? What does that mean? Now we can understand. If it means we paskin like Beis Hillel now, but eventually we'll paskin like Beis Shammai. They both have a kiyumis to them. They both have a kiyumis to them. But we understand now from this Mikdash Melech as follows. That we had to paskin like Beis Hillel now because we need the rachamim. But ultimately in a perfect world, it's a world of din. a perfect world, like Kadosh Baruch Hu, you look at Rashi at the beginning of Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu realized he can't create the world just with din, because we're not going to live up to it. But that's how he would have liked to have created the world, where we're perfect, and we live a perfect life, the way we're supposed to, being Oivdei Hashem. The Tosfos Chadashim and Avos explains a little differently. He says, but in a similar vein, he says, Mamish Beisham is on such a high level, it's not for this world yet. It's Mamish Bekoidish Kadashim. It's like Malachim. Upper, based on all that, what do we know? Bizman Mashiach, when the Gemara in Sukkah Nun Beis tells us to Neshech the Yetahara, we're no longer going to have Yetahara. As we see in Parshat Yitzchak in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Zayin, Amol Hashem is Levavcha, Hashem's going to circumcise our hearts, and the Ramban there says, Mamash, rip out our Yetahara. So then we're going to be able to be and live up to how we all want to be. We all have the Ratzon to tap in and be a Neshama to Geyid. We're going to be able to be that. So Bizman Mashiach, we no longer need the Rachamim of Beis Hillel. And we can reach a level of that Kodesh Kedoshim Dekiyir of Beis Shammai and Paskin like Beis Shammai. That has to be then, if that's how we Paskin Bizman Mashiach, that has to be the goal. That has to be the aspiration. And Chanukah, as we know, Chanukah in 8 days. Chanukah is already a Shtikl Zman of Mashiach. Chanukah is already a Shtikl Zman of Mashiach. Chanukah is a Zman of Lamalim and Ateva. Chanukah is a Zman where we've mentioned this so many times. We're lighting menorah every night. We're mamish lighting the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. We're each and every one of us is involved in Avodah the Beis HaMikdash. It's Kehilu, we have Gula already on some level. A Shtikl Gula. Do you guys understand that? When we light the menorah, do we write B'pacha, B'yira, B'ava, B'simcha? We're lighting the menorah of Beis HaMikdash? I don't know. Personally, I don't know how Yid doesn't go to the mikvah before he lights menorah every night. That's just personally. If you understand that it's mamish avoid the Beis HaMikdash, so avoid the Beis HaMikdash, you went to the mikvah first to prepare, to understand the Kedusha Tara of lighting the menorah of Beis HaMikdash. What a schus! I happen to be a kohen. I'm waiting for Beis HaMikdash to serve. Many in this room, Adiv's a kohen, the Chassan's a kohen. Many in this room are not even Kohanim or Levim. So here's your once in a lifetime opportunity to be involved in avoid the Beis HaMikdash. Are you grabbing onto that? Do you understand that? Meaning we're already in Mashiach Tzidkenu Dekiyed. So here's, even though on a practical level we still have to paskin like Beis Hillel right now because we still need the Rachamim, we have to yearn to be a Beis Shammai Dikiyid. And here, based on the Oiv Yisrael, what does that mean? It means we have to see Hashem in everything. We have to see the Koyach in everything. We have to see beyond the screens and beyond the facade of this world and not get pulled into societal pressure or our parent pressure or whoever it is pressuring us not to see the Ruchnias within everything. And live a life of Torah, live a life of Kedusha, and live a life where I'm one with Hashem every single moment. My wife Zaidi, whose Yahrzeit is tonight, was a Kaddish Tekiyid, a survivor of the Holocaust, who Mamish came, he lost everything, Mamish, every drop of everyone in his family was murdered. And obviously everything physical was taken away from him, and he rebuilt a mamish, he rebuilt a mishpacha, all balei emuna. He had emuna. He saw, even in the darkest of times, he was able to see Rabbeinu Shalom. In the darkest of times, he saw beyond. If you went through a Holocaust and you didn't see beyond, and you were only a Beis Hillel Dekiyid, and you only saw what was revealed, you couldn't have walked out from, even if you survived. It's impossible, because all you see is what's revealed. What's revealed is death, is murder, is persecution, is nothing that makes any sense. Makes no sense. Mamish, throw in the towel, give it up. If you only could see Benigla, if you could only see life like that, forget it. How could you have rebuilt a mishpacha full of emunah, full of kedusha, full of Torah, full of mitzvahs? Impossible. Impossible. And how many Yidden do we know, Bizman Hazeh, who are not going through the persecution of Nazi Germany, but are losing their Yiddishkeit because of the pressures, the ruchnias of society, the pressures of mamonos, of money, the pressures of taiva, of the temptations in the world, and giving in just to that. And saying, I can't see beyond that even. I can't see there's anything deeper in this world than physical pleasure. Hashem Irachim. We have to see beyond. We have to see the depth. We have to see the Eibishter within everything. We have to see, be a Beis Shammai Dekiyid and live like it's Mashiach already in that sense. Again, not on a practical level. I don't mean tomorrow night decide, wait a minute, tomorrow's Chveser, we're going to light the fourth. Well, tomorrow's a bad example, actually. because tomorrow, no matter what, we're lighting four. Interesting, we have to come up with the Torah that, right? Beishim, on the fourth night, Beisham and Beisila are the same. It's interesting. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. It's interesting. We have to think about what the Torah is in that. Okay, we have to think about that. But meaning, you... Okay, so Matzah Shabbos Kodesh. We're going to all be lighting five. Nobody should go on Paskin just light three. Nobody should do that. We're not ready to, on a practical level, to Paskin like Beisham and Dekiyid. But Machshava... But in depth, the lesson behind it, to start seeing beyond and seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam and everything. Seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam every moment of my life. You know how sweet life would be? You know how much simcha would be in life? Okay, so an individual has a difficulty and has to be in the hospital or gets sick, or you have a family member, whatever it might be. But when you're living with the Ribbono Shel Olam, don't get me wrong, nobody wants it. But you see beyond it, and you know the Eibishter is behind it all, it's all going to be good. Komad Rechmel Tava of it. I can see beyond. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be down and out. I'm going to look forward to whatever it is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is throwing my way, that it's going to lead to something good somehow. Because I know in the depth there's Eibishter here. I know in the depth there's Koyach, there's potential. This is how each and every one of us has to live. That's the whole lesson of Chanukah. Lefi Beis Shammai Poiches V'Hoylech. And Mamish, we see this in Chanukah in other areas as well. We all know the famous Torah, that the 36 candles of Chanukah are connected to the 36 hours that the Or HaGonuz was in the world. The Or HaGonuz, the spiritual light that Hashem brought into the world to really sense and feel Hashem in this world, that Hashem had to put into Geniza, into hiding, for only Tzaddikim, because Tzaddikim could only connect to it. And it was very bad for Hashem, who couldn't handle that spirituality. The famous Torah, how in Parshas Bereishis, right at the beginning, it says, Vayar Lekim Etzo Or Kitov. And on the test, there's four tagin, there are four crowns. Test is 9, times the 4 of the 4 crowns is 36. And that's Merameh, the 36 hours that Or HaGonuz was in the world. Well, the Sefer Kodesh, I'm sure some of us have seen that before. The Or HaGonuz, that spiritual light, which is this seeing Hashem in everything, that no longer is here, bin nigla, but there's an Or HaGonuz that we're trying to tap into. There's a hidden Or that we're trying to tap into. But I want to take it one place further. If there's a hidden koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything, we have to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything. That's not just true in the world. Don't forget that that's true within ourselves. Don't forget that that's true within ourselves. As the Halakha Tanya says, his words are so precious. When he talks about the neshama, the soul, within each and every one, he calls it a chelek eloka mima'al mamish. Chelek eloka mima'al mamish. A part of God from above, literally, is within each and every one of us. We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu within us. We have to believe that. We have to understand that. We have to live up to that. We have to see the Or HaGonuz, not just in everywhere in the world, whatever is thrown our way, but within ourselves. And hold ourselves to that standard that we're a ben melech. We're more than a ben melech. We have a chelik of the melech within us. Maybe I always wanted to say this pshat in the following. You know, we all have daven tonight. We sang tonight after we lit candles. Haneiros halalu kodeshem. Haneiros halalu kodeshem. These lights are kadosh. Ve'ein lan rishus l'shtamish behem. And we have no permission to use them. Ella l'rosim b'vad. But to look at them. That's all we have rishus, is to look at them. Now, first of all, from the words El Larosim Belavad, it means, you can make a diak, that it means we, not just that's the only thing we're allowed to do, but it means we're supposed to look at them. Meaning, it could have just said, Asal Shtamish Bam, period, stop there. Asal Shtamish Bam, we don't have to benefit from them, so we're not allowed to use them to read by them, we're not allowed to benefit from them. El Larosim Belavad must be teaching me something more that I'm supposed to be doing. El Larosim Belavad means that we should, each and every one of us should sit and stare at the candles. But why? Meaning, isn't it so strange? Ever think about it, Chevra? We're lighting candles to not use the candles. When does such a person do such a thing? Neir Shabbos, every Friday night, our mothers, our wives, light the candles to use the candles. Oynik Shabbos, that's the purpose in the candles. Yes, Bizman Hazel, we have electrical light. But any of us that have ever been by Rabbi Yol Friday night, we know what the candles are really for. No, MS, that's how it's supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be like by Rabbi Yol. It's supposed to be that we sit by candlelight. That's how it always was. And the candles are for Onik Shabbos. that brings Shalom Bayis. So the halacha is Neres Shabbos is other than Neres Chanukah because of how important Shalom Bayis is. Don't ever forget that. Right? The halacha is if you only have one candle on a Friday night Chanukah, if all you have is one candle, you use it for Neres Shabbos, not for Neres Chanukah. With all the presuming innocence and all the godless of Chanukah, Shalom Bayis Adif. Don't ever forget that in life, Shalom Bayis Adif. Adiv, you hear me? Aaron David, you hear? Shalom Bayis Adif. Shalom Bayis always comes first before everything. Everything. You'll understand this as you move on in marriage, but if the earlier you understand this, the earlier you'll have Shalom Bayis in your marriage. If you understand Shalom Bayis comes before everything, that's how you'll have Shalom Bayis in your marriage. Those who don't understand this, this takes time and it's a struggle till you learn this. No more Mordechai, what do you say? Tell them, you'll tell them after. That's it. I was a young, stupid kid. It took me a while to learn this. You could ask my wife. She'll tell you. Trust me, she'll tell you. But I learned. So El Elaro, again, where are we going? So El Elaro Simbalvad. Oh, Shabbos, great. Shabbos candles we could benefit from, we could enjoy. But Chana candles can't enjoy. If you can't enjoy them, why are we looking at them? El Elaro Simbalvad. If I can't use the light for illumination, that's also why it's Pachos Me Yitzvachim, the best place, because we don't want it to be up where it looks like it's illuminating the room. I can't use it to illumination. Why am I staring at it? What am I going to see in it? Isn't it better to stare at my sefer? Stare at my tehillim? Why am I staring at the light? So it must be if the light is not there to show me anything in the physical world, because that's the revelations. That's already what we see on the outside. That's already Beis Hillel Dikir. It's the light that's supposed to shine within me to uncover that which is hidden. I must use that light to uncover the Kedusha within myself, to see deeper, to spiritual light. To see the ruchnis of the world and to see the ruchnis within myself. The chelik alakami ma'amamish. To focus on neshama and not on guf. The Sefer Oilos Ephraim says that's actually the machlekes besham besilo. It says we know the physical guf over time, the physical guf, and here we're going to flip it on its head a little bit. Eilav eilav divrei klim chayim, that's what the Gemara says in Erevin. But the Oilos Ephraim says, a little differently than what we've been saying in here, how we use Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, but this maybe is again, Eil Veil Divrei Klal Chayim. The Eilat Ephraim says that the physical guf, as with time, slowly withers away. The physical guf slowly withers away and gets weaker and weaker over time. The neshama, if we're using it correctly, and we're learning and we're davening, gets stronger and stronger and bigger and bigger. So he says maybe Beis Hillel is focusing on the neshama and Beis Shammai is focusing on the guf. And we paskin to focus on the neshama. So we got to be focusing on the neshama. We have to be focusing on the neshama and focusing on the neshama growing, focusing what's within, focusing what's behind the scenes. Not getting caught up on what we see with our physical eye. Vada don't look with our physical eye. We have to practice the din and shmir senayim. We have to know how to close our eyes and see within ourselves. And be a beshame dikir. Be a yid who's fully full of kedusha, full of holiness, full of ruchnias. You know, I saw one more Torah on this machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel that I want to share with you. I saw a lot, but one more that I want to share. The Halakha Shem Shmuel, the Sachet Shavit, the Shem Shmuel, he says as follows. He says the machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is how we're going to deal with a moment of chizuk and inspiration and soros. Hopefully here on Chanukah, and hopefully here tonight, we're gaining chizik, we're gaining Soiris, and the whole yant of Chanukah is to enlighten ourselves. So he says, Beis Shammai comes and says, what happens to most people when they have a moment of chizik, a moment of inspiration? So that moment, mamish, they're flying. The next day, a little less, the next day, a little less, the next day, a little less. By the eighth day, it's already all forgotten. Beis Hillel says, a yid who's a true Eved Hashem, a yid who truly grabs onto moments, he takes a moment of chizik and he builds off it. He takes a moment of hisoros and he builds off it. And he says the first day he got some growth, but the next day more and more and more and more and more. And vada, that's rare. But that's how each and every one of us has to be. We come along the Halakha Yontav of Chanukah, and it's not here just for the moment. It's not here just to enjoy a few latkes and light the menorah and to play dreidel. We're here in Chanukah to grow. We're here in Chanukah to mechazik ourselves. We're in Chanukah to learn Lefido of Yisrael, how to be a Beis Shammai to Giyid, and bring Mashiach that way, right? We play dreidel, Nez Nun Gimel Heishin, or Oisios Gematra 358, which is Gematra Mashiach. We play dreidel to bring Mashiach. Because when you play dreidel, what were they playing dreidel? To show the Mesiris Nefesh for Torah. Or most of Nefesh to their bonus. That's how we're going to bring Mashiach. Aber each and every one of us has to be the yid that takes the chizik and grows off it. Is moisef v'haylech, is only growing, is only working on ourselves. If we're moisef v'haylech in growth, then we'll see the poichis v'haylech of Ahav Yisrael, of the Beis Shammai. Then we'll see the Eibishter and everything, we'll be in a shama dika yid. And it's within each and every one of us. We can't, but sometimes we blame it on outside of the people we're surrounded by, and we don't have the influences, and I'm no longer in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm not where I want to be, and I'm not what I need to be. It's within each and every one of us. I want to share a story I read. It's I read this week, Mamish Moradik. The Beis Halevi. Rav Yoshe Ber, the first Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. The Beis Halevi. So towards the end of his life, the Beis Halevi was very sick. And some doctors suggested that he has a very serious operation. But he was older and it was a dangerous operation. And they said they thought it's an important operation you have to have, but it's dangerous. And the operation could low lane. If it doesn't go well, it'll put you in a much worse situation, basically. And they weren't sure what to do. Should they go through with the operation or not go through with the operation? If it doesn't go through with the operation, it'll stay status quo. And who knows how much longer he has him, how things will be. If he goes through it, it has the potential, potentially, to help heal him, but it also has potential to put him in a much worse place. And ultimately, who they go to make the decision? Who is Machria to decide if the Beis Halevi should go through with this surgery? His son. His son, Rav Chaim Brisker. So they went to Rav Chaim. And Rav Chaim Cheshbon, and he talked to doctors, and he figured out, and he said, if it means it's Sakana without, and it could save him, we have to try, and he should go through with the surgery. And Kachave, he had the surgery, the Beis Halevi, and for the first week or two, he seemed to be getting much, much, much better. It looked like it was going well, but then Mamash, after 2 weeks, had a terrible turn for the worse, and he was nifter. He was nifter. And Rav Chaim couldn't handle it. He mamish thought that he was the one that caused the death of his tata with that decision. He thought he must have made the wrong decision and it was wrong. And he was mamish down. And mamish constantly talking about it and crying about it throughout the whole shiva and afterwards. One day, a friend of his, I think he was a doctor if I'm not mistaken, who was a big chacham, came to Reb Chaim a little bit after the p'tira of the Beis Halevi. And he starts talking to him and telling him, you know, Mamash sounds very mechutzav, he says, you know, I can't believe you told your father to go through with the surgery. And starts telling him all the reasons why it was a bad decision and why he shouldn't have done it. And Reb Chaim, Kederach of Reb Chaim, he starts to argue back. And he has every single detail and every single proof and statement that this man makes of why it was the wrong decision. He proves him wrong and explains exactly why it was the right decision. Mamash with perfect clarity and perfect logic. And everything he says, he right back at him with a great argument of why it was the right decision. Argument after argument, he comes with all the chachma and all the logic of why he had to go through with the surgery. And by the end of this discussion, Reb Chaim felt so good about the decision, Imamish, all of it was lifted off his shoulders. And everybody came to this man, how'd you know to go to Reb Chaim like that? Everybody, throughout the last few weeks, everyone's trying to convince Reb Chaim it was good, and Reb Chaim was arguing back why it wasn't good. So on one hand, each of us could say, we know the Derech, those of us have learned Reb Chaim a little bit, and understand Reb Chaim, understand the Derech Limud, that's Reb Chaim, the Chacham, that is needed a little bit. Sometimes you need someone to bounce things off you the other way, to see the clarity. That's the godless in a Chavrusa. Sometimes you need the Melchamah Shel Torah to be able to find the clarity. That's one way of looking at the story. But I saw this in Melech Biderman Sefer. He says as follows, what do we see from this story? Rav Melech explains, you saw this earlier, the story, you didn't see it yet? You didn't go through the whole Hanukkah Sefer? Okay, you'll get there. So he says, we see from here that all that we're trying to bring chizik from the outside, all this aris from the outside, none of it worked. The only kayach that was going to bring in a chama was from Reb Chaim himself. I mean, he had it within himself the whole time. He had to be the one that pulled it out. He had the one that had to grow. He had to be the one that comes to the proper decision and proper clarity and simchas achayim. And so too, we have to realize within each and every one of us, we're malei koichos. It's all within us. Yes, sometimes we have people that help us. We have rebbeim, we have chavrusos, and we have parents that are there as just to help maneuver a little bit. But ultimately, it's within each and every one of us. And we have to understand, just like we have to see beneath in the world and see the Rabboni Shalom in everything, we have to see the Rabboni Shalom within ourselves and the koyach within ourselves, that we have the koyach to persevere, that even if we're in Chutz La'aretz, and even whether we're in YU, or whether we're working already, or whatever stage of life we're in, I could be a true Ben Torah, a true Lamdin, and an Amal Ben Torah, and a Baal Yir Shemayim, and I don't have to give in to Shemir Sanayim just because I'm at a different stage of life. And I don't have to give in to the pressures of society because I'm a different stage of life. I can be a true Ben Torah and stand up for Torah and stand up for Yiddishkeit and stand up for the Rabbi Nisholm. I have it within myself. That's what the Chashmonayim were able to do. That's what we're able to do. But we have to first be a Beishamei Dekiyid and be able to see beneath and see the Rabbi Nisholm in everything and the Rabbi Nisholm within myself. This is what I end with, the Matana. This one's a very special one. I'm going to explain to you why it's a very special one. Because it came to me the first night of Chanukah when I was staring at the Neiros, El Leroy Simbalvad. I wish I had more time by the Neiros. You know, nights are always busy and crazy. And here, Baruch Hashem, we have beautiful lighting with my mishpacha and the kids, and we sing and we dance, and it's very beautiful. But then this is taken care of. Then you have to get back to normalcy and take care of the kids, and there's what to do. And then Baruch Hashem of Chavrusas and whatever else. And the first night, it's the first night of Chanukah, I was so excited. I didn't get to go and sit by the Neiros until probably close to midnight. Baruch Hashem, I have very big glasses, you can see by my menorah. And it lasts well into the night. So it was still lit at midnight time. And I sat, I took a chair, and I sat by the Neiros. And I was staring at the Neiros, El Leroy Simbalvad, trying to be mechazik myself, and trying to do a little cheshbon and nefesh. It's an amazing zman for Zboidus by the Neiros. Nothing like it. Those that don't connect generally to Zboidus and don't know from it, Chanukah, how can you not? So I'm sitting there, and this is the following Matana that Eibishter brought me. I was thinking about the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah. I was thinking about the whole mitzvah and the whole different levels of the mitzvah Neiros Shebeso, the Mahadrin, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. It's very interesting, you know. There's all these levels of Neiros Chanukah. But you open up a Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and the Ramah, it just goes straight to Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. It doesn't even tell you that you're allowed to light only one each night. Mr. Brewer tells you that. The Gemara and Shabbos already tells you that. But when you look into Shulchan Aruch, it goes straight to Mahadrim and Mahadrim. Like, we have to be Mekayim this Mahadrim and Mahadrim. Like, that's the only way to do it. Open up a Shulchan Aruch, you'll see, it's incredible. Mahadrim, I don't even know why it's there at all in the Gemara. And I mean, the Mechaber doesn't mention it, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention it, nobody really mentions Mahadrim. And I don't know if anyone in history ever did Mahadrim. Like, why? Meaning, Lamaisa, why would you ever do Mahadrim? Meaning, if, okay, Shkoyach, there are times in history we have to rely on Iker Mitzvah, just one candle. You only had one candle in different places. You're stuck without it. All you have is one candle. Definitely you need the B'dievet and the Iker Mitzvah just to do one candle. We have stories in the Holocaust. If I do that, we understand. But if you're not going to do that already, it could be Mahadrin, depending on your situation, how many family members. It could be that, it depends, again, Ashkenaz Sfarad, but how you paskin in this. But it could be it's more candles than even Mahadrin, minimum Mahadrin. Like, why would you ever be doing Mahadrin? I'm not sure if anyone ever did Mahadrin in all of history. But Lamaisa, it's there. It's another discussion, maybe we'll try to understand it. But the we're supposed to do Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, that's what most of us do, that's what almost all of us do. So it came to me, the Matana, the following, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin is exactly Gematria 713. No, it doesn't ring a bell with anyone. So right when I saw Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin 713, it hit me, what's 713? Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, exactly Gematria Tshuva. It's exactly Gematria Tshuva. Now we said already all the Svarim bring down that this is the Soif of all Tshuva. And tshuva, we have to understand, by the way, before I get to the final explanation, tshuva doesn't just mean, oh, I'm doing a terrible vera and I have to improve it. I mean, halavai, we should all be bali tshuva. B'makom shebali tshuva, oim dem afil tzidik gemor miyefshel amor. Tshuva means I'm improving, I'm growing. Halavai, tomorrow I should be a bali tshuva. Please, if I could be called a bali tshuva. Tshuva means I'm growing, I'm working myself, I'm davening a little bit better, I'm learning a little bit more. I'm working and having a little more sensitivities than Shemir Sanayim. That's just tshuva. So Mahadrim and Mahadrim, the match of tshuva, Chanukah is for sure is the man of tshuva, but more than that, I think it's trying to tell us, you know what tshuva is? When I go Mahadrim and Mahadrim, when I do more for the Rabbanu Shalom, when I'm going the most beautiful way, the highest way, not just doing the basics, but I want to do more and more and more. Mahadrim and Mahadrim. So Be'ez Hashem is Baruch, we should all be Zoicha. We should all be Zoicha to live the Geula and the chizik of Chanukah always. We should all be zoicha to be b'shamid degirin and see the Rabbono Shalom beneath everything and beneath our own self. And we should be zoicha to always be improving, always be growing. Be zoicha to a Chanukah of tshuva and a Chanukah where like the Shemesh Shmuel says, a Chanukah where it's not something that's poiches v'hoilich, but it's mois v'hoilich that we grow off and we look back at this Chanukah as a springboard of growth. So we're zoicha if Chanukah was a zman of geula of Beis HaMikdash. We should be zoicha to binyan beis hamikdash with bayis shlishi b'mehera b'yameinu b'ezras Hashem yisbarach. Amen.